So this familiar 21st chapter of John was later added to the Gospel. I mean, the Gospel was edited, scholars point out, a number of times. Some say as many as 7 times. But it's very clear that the 21st chapter was a completely new invention. The vocabulary is different, the style is different. And why it was added, I don't know, they, scholars, as they love to do, speculate like mad, but we don't have to go into that. But what is clear is Jesus kind of deputing Peter as a shepherd. Now, because we're in a pastoral society, the metaphor of shepherd is a familiar one. The problem with that metaphor, of course, is that it is often enough taken literally, that the people who are shepherded are like sheep. Well, in order to correct that, we go back to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, where you have all this proclamation by Jesus, where he describes himself as the beautiful shepherd, translated badly as the good shepherd. And I've said over and over, every time that passage comes up, that beauty works in a far different way than what we normally consider shepherding, where you have this big stick and you beat the sheep alongside of the head to keep them in line. Beauty is non-coercive. Beauty simply radiates by itself and draws people. And that's the way Jesus, as in the Johannine view, describes shepherding. But now we have Peter. It's clear that whoever wrote that thing was paralleling the threefold denial of Peter. And what is crucial, and what underlies absolutely everything else about feeding my lambs or tending my sheep, blah, 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 is that the Peter that Jesus deputed is the Peter who knows his own fallibility. It is the Peter who is conscious of his own frailty, of his own sinfulness, if you will. And it's only on that basis, with that kind of self-understanding, that the shepherding works as Jesus wanted it to work. We can be sure. So whoever holds the Petrine office, if they're going to be faithful to this tact, must have at the fundamental level of their consciousness their own fallibility. Full stop. That's what this text is about. In other words, it's constant with the whole rest of the New Testament, where every time Jesus mentions authority, he warns against its abuse and describes as authoritative only radical self-donation, the washing of the feet. This is very important today, because the kind of shepherding we're getting these days does not seem to me to be consonant with this. What's the first work of a shepherd in Jesus' view of things? What does it mean to tend to other people? As a servant, behold, I stand among you as one who serves. That's Jesus' self-definition. The first thing a servant must do is listen. If it is to be real service and not some kind of disguised oppression, commandeering, violence. If a shepherd does not listen, there is no real shepherding beyond that. If a shepherd does not work, first of all, out of self-consciousness of his or her own deficiencies, then there cannot be any shepherding as we get it out of the New Testament. And today, as we hear from the Vatican over and over again, accusation. The press hates us. We're out to destroy the papacy. It's rabid anti-Catholicism. This is so painful. It's rubbish. It's rubbish. It doesn't have anything to do with Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Because if you love Jesus, who is the servant of all, if you follow, as the Gospel of John puts it, the model of Jesus, "Behold, I've given you an example, that as I have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." I don't think we take this seriously enough because of the normal human tendency to mystify power. To endow it with all kinds of prerogatives that are unwarranted. And therefore to suffer the consequences, often enough unconsciously, of a relationship that is not one of Jesus to us, but of some kind of commandant, a Sonderkommando. So, where do we stand in the midst of this? Well, we have to stand attentive to the fact that the only reason to follow Jesus is because he is the beautiful shepherd. And that everything else must be seen in that context, that famous line from the Acts that Ian read, "We must obey God rather than human authority." And here too we have a problem, as the great Bernard Herring puts it, we don't have creeping infallibilism in the church, we have galloping infallibilism in the church. With the discussion of the ordination of women, of married people, divorced people, use of birth control, sexual morality, all of this is simply jettisoned in the face of some assumed tradition. So I think these are parlous times in the church. That's why it's so important to listen to this text again. It is Peter the sinner who is to be the shepherd. It is Peter the self-conscious, deficient human being who is to stand before us, other human beings, also deficient human beings, in a quite different kind of relationship than the one we typically look for, I think, today.